the fastest, quickest, smoothest footwork. He is the Fred Astaire of jiu-jitsu, the Fred Astaire of judo, but he's the Dom DeLuise of pizza eating. I don't get it. I don't get this.
Everybody wake up.
Time to wake up. Time to start the day. Wake up late with Dougie. He is the only
wake
way.
Wake up late. Now everybody. Wake up late. Everybody. Wake up late. Wake up late.
Wake up.
Wake up late with Dougie. Wake up late with Dougie. Wake up late with Dougie.
It's time to wake up.
Wake up late with Dougie. What rhymes with Dougie? He's just so funny.
It's the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. Live from Danger Studios. Coral Springs, and now you know.
We're the hottest show in this place. Wake up late now, everybody. Wake up late now, everybody. Wake up late now, everybody.
I said one, two, three. Everybody wake up.
Live from Danger Studios in Coral Springs, Florida. It's the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. Starring Dougie Almeida. Now. Let's start the show.
Welcome to the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. I'm Dougie Almeida, and back from my trip. And this is like the fifth take, by the way. I just want to let you guys know, Facebook Live is watching and laughing at us because I've gone on three or four times. And of course, but anyway, we're going to do this again. Hopefully nothing goes wrong. My co-host today, and a bystander and a
accomplice. Groundhog Day. Hi, guys. I'm back again.
And special guest in the studio, Al Martin.
Yes, I'm here. Thank you. This is like the third time.
I'm telling you, we're going to even get better and better at it.
Yes.
It better be. But that's not. See, this isn't like we're all right. Here, we're going to give everybody here and the podcast listening audience. We basically started talking about. I just came back from my little 2-week run through Oklahoma City and Little Rock at the Looney Bin. Had a great time. And I asked Al the question because Al is a comedy club owner for many years, and he's seen much of comedy.
Yes, many of the transitions.
Yes, and yeah, you've been through. You were in there the big times, the slow times, and everything.
Right.
And I asked Al, am I going to be discovered doing comedy in Oklahoma City? And Al said,
no.
Okay. See, and now we're all back to speed.
But right? Wait, you know, let me also say another thing, and we were having this conversation mm-hmm. before. It's that it's not always the amount of followers that you have.
Right.
It's how many eyeballs you can get to your platforms.
Right.
Whether it be Facebook, YouTube. You know, I had that famous incident years ago with Sarah Silverman. And, you know, she had a way more ability to reach a mass amount of people because she had done an interview on Salon.
Right.
And I just attacked it from a social media standpoint, just got in my old iPhone out, made a video, and it went viral. And, you know, I think any comedian, if they could figure out a funny enough bit, can get the eyeballs to their platforms. You don't need those traditional gatekeepers as much.
So again, like me doing stand-up in Oklahoma City and Little Rock was really for my own benefit, really. I mean, as for being discovered, like you said, people saw me. I got new fans. I was able to get some new fans and followers. But, you know, as for my career, the only thing I did better was me just getting more stage time,
well,
if anything.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. But, you know, you could have wound up making a very funny video while you were in Wichita that could have gone viral, and it would have done you a lot more good than
all the stage time.
Exactly.
I did that, actually. There was a comic, a local comic in Little Rock that's like 6'10".
Right.
Literally 6'10".
Wow,
and me and CJ Starr, another fellow comic out of Dallas, we were triple featuring, which was interesting. Looney Bin does triple features, which is basically for those comics that are featuring that they're ready to move up. They want to see how they handle it.
Right.
And, of course, probably saving some money.
Right.
Right? No headliner to worry about.
Exactly. And the features traditionally are a little local, so they don't have to a lot of
pay them a lot, right? They don't get the hotel.
Yeah, well, at least at this place they got houses we stayed in, which is nice. I was mentioning. So, anyway, as I was talking about. So we did do a video. So this one kid was 6'10", and me and CJ, who were about 5'9", you know, and we're big boys.
Right.
We stood on chairs, so they took a video of us as standing. We posted on Facebook. You know, us standing next to the guy, all eye to eye. Hey, that's a good show. Hey, nice, man. All right, thanks. Let me step off the chairs.
Right.
You know, stupid.
It's stupid, but something like that or anything can go viral if you do it, if you know how to push it and get it out to the right places, groups and stuff like that. I did a video of my cat teaching her how to fetch. And
did she fetch?
Yeah.
Yeah, she learned. She knows how to fetch. So I would take her little toy, throw it, she'd get it, bring it back to me, and do it
again. I've never seen a cat fetch anything.
Yeah, yeah. So I did that one, and I did another one of her when she was a kitten discovering a mirror for the first time.
Yeah.
And she'd look at it, and then she'd go into like a hump position, like all scared, and she'd try to fight whatever.
Well, you can't go wrong with a cat.
Right.
You
cats,
can't go wrong.
Kittens, puppies.
So I should do some stand up with a cat sitting next to me.
You know, even wheelchairs. Your dog, you never know when that inspiration hits.
Wait a minute. Maybe I should do it. Me doing comedy from a wheelchair with a cat with next
to me.
With a cat,
right. You need to be in a wheelchair with a kitten. And if you could burn half of your face, that would.
Yes,
I would really bring it
to my impression of Richard Pryor.
That Dopey Cat video got 10,000 views, you know. So,
but you're right. I mean, that happens. You mentioned before we on our first take or third take before we actually cut to this take. Comics are delusional.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Oh yeah, that's
right. Because followers don't translate.
But some of the numbers he had mentioned, like 15,000 Twitter followers, aren't going to generate.
No.
You got to have over 25,000 to 50,000.
Oh, yeah, I've heard of people here locally who claim to fill a room. I've heard them. I talked to the manager, and they're like, and you go on Facebook, and they'll say, "Oh, we sold it out tonight." But yeah. I talk to the manager, and they're like, "No one showed up."
Oh, I'll give you a more delusional one. I had people do a show at my venue. And I'm watching the camera and I didn't see any audience. I went away. And then the next morning I was able to see a picture of all of them on stage. Great sold out show last night at Broadway Comedy Club. I called my manager. I said, wait a second. I was watching the remote cameras, you know, from home, and I didn't see anything. Did an audience fill in later on? No, the show was canceled. They went on stage, took a picture and said it was sold out.
I mentioned this on the show not too long ago, but comics need to be a little more selective on the photos they put of them when they're on stage. Because I've seen some photos of people posting on social media, and you look at people in the audience, somebody's looking at their phone, another person's looking at the sky, another person's sitting there looking at their wife going, like, why didn't we go bowling?
Yeah, well, it's a tough time now to really be a comedian.
Yeah.
You know, it really is, because you have to not only deal with political correctness on stage,
Absolutely. But
you have to deal with audience members that are not engaged. They're sitting, they paid admission, they're buying their beverages, they're sitting there, and they're texting, they're checking Instagram, they're checking Facebook, they're checking Twitter.
Well, they made an announcement at the Looney Bin. They said, you know, please, you know, turn your phones off, put them away.
Well, they always announce, but I felt a complete opposite experience in New York. That was one of the things that I noticed and was very, very pleasing, were that people were there to watch comedy. Here, it's like they give away free tickets. Like I said, there's always some drunk girl in the front who's making things challenging and difficult. But I would say that in New York, the audiences are much more considerate to any performer. I saw dance performances. I went to Lincoln Center. I went to Disney. And but at the comedy show, I did notice that people were not as – first of all, they don't insert themselves in the show. I didn't get
– Oh, we get a little of that. But that's usually what I call our bridge and tunnel audience members that are coming in from Long Island or Westchester, the suburban – audience members.
Yeah.
They like to inject themselves into the show.
I had a woman removed from the audience.
Did you really?
On early show, I think it was early show. What show was it?
Probably the Friday late show.
Yeah, that usually
that's always an issue.
Remember that show, I was, whatever it was, because with the triple feature, you rotate. You host one night, middle, one show, the middle, and close, and you just rotate every show.
Right.
So once I was opening, and you know, this lady just kept interrupting me and shit and just saying, and they have a 3-strike policy there. And, you know, I asked the woman, please, be quiet. Your face isn't on the poster. No one came to see you, you know, laughing, you know what I mean? And it made it fun. And people in the audience got on my side, which is the key to that.
Right.
And the audience on my side, like, turned around. Yeah, she's got to be quiet. Like, you know, and I said, ma'am, if you're not quiet, you're going to be asked to leave. Like, and I go, can we go over the rules again? Can we play the rules video again? Audio.
Right.
And then backstage, they asked her to leave. In the middle of the show. And that's always awkward. Because then as a comic, what do? You're sitting there, and I don't want to say anything really mean. Like, it's, you know, I don't want to add to it.
Who just walked off stage? Somebody just walked off stage recently. the comedian.
Because somebody just said they're going to deal with it.
They're done. They're done with it. Yeah, they walked off. I don't remember.
No, I'm not going to do that. But I'm not.
I know Seinfeld is not dealing with colleges anymore and stuff like that. He doesn't want to deal with the political correctness.
Yeah, I mean,
it's gone amok. I get at least one or two letters a week from audience members.
Which is bananas. Didn't we get along? You've been in the business a long time. Didn't we get along a lot better when we were kind of laughing at all of these things? I mean.
Yeah. People have lost their sense of, a comic did a bit about autism. So the woman comes up after the show to me and happened to be watching the show. And, I can look at all audience members and she was upset about autism. But another comic had done a bit about some people, and she was laughing at it. So she came up complaining to me about autism. I said, I noticed you were laughing at the Asian joke. So, hey, if you can't, you can't laugh at Asians and then be upset when people are making a joke about autism. It's a comedy club.
That's the thing that definitely, that's the thing that irks me when it comes to the hypocrisy of people. And this is that one thing that, I mentioned a few weeks ago, I was doing an open mic and I call it my not me joke, but it basically it hashtags the me too kind of thing, right?
That
involves in that. And it's a funny joke, and this lady comes up, she's like, I liked all your stuff, but when you mentioned that, it really affected me. I go, I'm sorry, why is that? She goes, well, when I was 12, I was molested. I go, I didn't mention 12-year-olds in my joke, do I? And I'm like, it's just like, but you're right, but everything else
that's fine. They'll laugh at everything, It's almost as frustrating that when you're the feature and they're walking out and they're gushing over the headliner. You know how you stand at the back of the room and they're gushing the headliner and then they see you and they go, hey, you were okay too.
Yeah, that's never fun.
Never fun.
Especially when somebody goes up to you and says, hey, keep working at it.
Yeah.
That's not a good one either you want to hear.
You should have them spend 6 months trying to become a comic in the beginning stages and what people go through to get stage time.
Oh, it's funny too. I got to read some of the comment cards from this weekend, And there's the highlights. Like one woman was fantasizing about me and CJ, the other comic.
Really?
And she goes, oh my God, they're two big men. I love them. I'm just going to be fantasizing about them. I'm like, wow.
Oh my God.
That was good feedback.
That's a lot of good action.
Yeah. And then there was one that one person said, I'm not fat enough to tell fat guy jokes.
You?
That's a compliment.
What do you mean?
Wait a second.
No, I'm going to go there. No, because
surprised at that.
Yeah.
No, because you're big enough. Like you have your. I mean, you're not fat, but you're stocky
enough. And
that's
enough. What my jokes are. I'm. There's two types of fat. I'm fat, and I can still get laid fat. That's
right.
The idea.
That's right. I know the joke.
You know, and then she got mad, and she didn't get mad. She wrote down, "He's not fat enough to do it." And this and that. And when I was in Wichita in January, I was doing an Italian thing or bit, because I think people think I'm Italian.
Right.
I usually pull up my Z28 and pizza.
Right.
But but I'm not. And I asked the Asian kid was sitting in front. I go, "You Italian?" And he goes, "Yeah." And I go, I just started laughing. Everybody around started laughing. So I was like, "All right, I'm gonna go with this." And I said, "Well, you're like Eastern Italian." You know what I mean? Like whatever. We had fun. And then I don't know why I usually would, but I go. I said, "You're Asian. Obviously, you're Asian. You're Chinese. You're like this." And
right.
He got offended. So after the show, he comes after me like he's like a ninja. Like he wanted to kill me. And I had this Trump fan says to me. Right. He's like, "Oh, here comes that guy. He's going to kick your ass." And I laughed because I got into it. He started moaning. He said, while I was on stage, he started saying some things. I go, "All right, well, because he says, I'm an engineer here in Wichita and you're just a comic." I said, "You got me there, buddy, but I bet you I could beat you on a big dick contest. I bet you my dick's bigger than yours." And I fought with him. Anyway,
what it gets to.
Yeah, no, but then he comes up to me after the show, and he goes, like, little kid, little Asian kid, little kid. He goes, "You're a racist." I go, "Dude, yeah, you think so?" And he goes, "Yeah, you're racist." I go, "That's pretty good. That you, as an engineer, you would have thought you had compiled a lot more evidence.
Yeah.
Before you came to such a conclusion. But what kind of engineering you're learning in Wichita there, Shema?" And it's just one of these things, and I'm married to an Asian woman, so that kind of
negates that.
But what if you just accept it? Like I think if somebody came up to me and said, "You're racist," I'd be like, "I am."
Yeah, well that's what I kinda said. I go, "Thanks, and he kept saying it to me and I go, "Okay, what's next?"
Under today's terms, am.
Yeah, I do that. I go, "What do you got next now?"
Yeah.
It reminds me of when I was in high school. They're like, "You slut," and I'm like, and
well, tell us more about this subject.
I want to go back to something you said though that was important, because you're like, why'd you stand up, why go out there, why be on the road? Because at the end of the day, I just want to point out how important it is especially now with everybody getting into comic. I think there's even universities now that offer comedy as a major. So, pardon me, with everybody wanting to be a comic, it is more important than ever that you hone the craft. So, you know, you hear people say, oh, I don't do bringer shows. I don't want to do bringer. Listen, it's always a bringer show. It's always a bringer show.
Well, you don't
show.
Think Jim Gaffigan and Lisa Everland.
They're bringers.
Of course they're bringers. If they can't fill the room that is hiring them, they're not getting that gig.
Right.
So you're always bringing.
You're always bringing. But yeah. the best comedy is great. You have a crowd comes up. The whole dynamic of the business is the owner of the club is happy because you brought people out. They made money.
Right.
And then the people who came to see a comedy show really enjoyed themselves because you're a good stand-up comic.
Well,
so
yeah.
you hone that craft on the road. You hone that craft by doing stage time. You get better by doing more shows. You get better by doing it. So really, of course you have to keep doing road work. Of course you have to keep getting stage time, whether it gets better
exactly.
or not.
You
right?
know, I'm often accused of having invented 30 years ago the Bringer Show in New York.
Oh, yeah.
And,
it was
you. Know, yeah, it was me.
You were the one who
was responsible. And you know what I tell people all the time? You don't have to do a bringer show. It's not like you have to, but let me explain something to you. If we don't do the bringer show, do you think you're getting on my 9 o'clock show? You know,
right.
you're not getting on it. So you either try to make that opportunity work to do that bringer show. And yes, I'm making money on a time slot that I would not ordinarily make.
Sure.
But you're going on stage on a time, on a club that you would ordinarily never get on.
There's a give and take there.
Yeah, of course it's a give and take.
And I've had, you know, people said that. I've had a discussion one time on Facebook about, I remember I was going through somewhere and one of the gigs had canceled, the venue canceled. And so I was in North Carolina or something. I posted, hey, I'm just kind of looking for some stage time tonight, anything, you know, whatever. I don't care, spot, whatever. And somebody says, don't work for free. I'm like, dude, I'd rather go on stage somewhere and be able to work on something, you know, as opposed to sitting in my hotel room, you know,
right,
doing
yeah,
nothing, you know.
You're a throwback. Your attitude towards it's a throwback. There's a lot of very young people today that are expecting you to just put them on stage more so than ever. I've seen, you know, listen, I started in 1990, so I've seen a generation X.
X? Yeah, I don't know.
I've seen the millennials, and now I'm seeing generation, was it Y, Z?
I don't know.
I've seen three different generations go through comedy, and of course, you know, the tail end of the boomers, you know, who are still trying to make it. So, you know, it's changed.
Yeah, well, the sense of entitlement has also...
Well, that happens a lot. Even the Florida comedy scene, you got a lot of comics that expect time. You know, as I book shows, people would, you know, expect you to book, you know, it's like, you know, and do all kinds of things to ask to be booked, as opposed to saying, come up and say, hey, I'd like an opportunity. How can I get on your stage? Not, I deserve it. You should put me on your show.
How about the question should be, is there anything I can do to help promote your show if I can get a 5-minute spot? Or can I help seat the room for you one day? That's how I got started. I got started barking and seating and then running some tech for someone.
Right.
They gave me some stage time. And then, you know, I went from there and started my own room.
And some people say, why should you do that? Because it doesn't matter what level you're at. I'll give you an example of that. Like of something I like to do. That kind of, I don't know if it differentiates me from other opening acts when I'm with a headliner or something like that, or if I'm part of the crew of comics on a show. I'll take photos of everybody, whatever show I'm at. I'll take photos of the comics on stage. And after the show, I said, hey, man, I took a few shots of you on stage. And they're like, oh, man, thanks, you know.
Yeah, of
thanks.
Course, everybody loves a picture of them doing something they love.
It doesn't pay anything. It's nothing to be nice, you know.
Do something, you know, and most importantly, don't be an asshole. Don't be a schmuck, right?
That's very hard for a lot of comedians. You know?
Yeah.
That's the nature of the beast.
What's one of the stupidest things that you think a comic ever did?
Wow. Oh, well, I had one the other night. I had a guy he asked me. I didn't reach out to him. Al, I'd like to do a show for you, and I think I could pack your room.
Right.
I said, okay, how about we try the small room first on a Wednesday night or something that's a little off because I've never seen you produce. No, I could really pack your room. So I gave him a 7 o'clock show on like a Wednesday night.
Upstairs?
Said, yeah, I gave him downstairs because it was open anyway.
Which seats, how many? Just that?
200.
200. Yeah.
So, but we have the ability to downsize it with curtains and make it a 90 right. seat room if we have to. So he said, I want the big room. I can do it. Nobody showed up.
Oh, nobody. Nobody. No one.
Nobody. Then the second time he asked me again, and I said to him, listen, dude, nobody showed up. I have 50 people that can come to the show next week if you have an empty spot. So I had an empty spot. I said, what do I have to lose with this guy? I said, just do me a favor. Put up $50. If the show don't happen, you give it to the wait staff.
Right.
You know,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, for coming in early. So he said, but if the show happens, you don't have to. I'll return you $50. He does that. Nobody shows up.
Strike two.
Strike two. Now, the third time.
Now, why isn't this guy on a ledge somewhere?
I'm a schmuck. The third time, he comes back crying to me. Literally a grown man crying. Okay? And says, Al, give me one more chance.
Oh.
And you gave it to him.
Come on, Al.
You don't have anything to lose.
I don't have anything to lose. Right. I had an empty room anyway.
Right.
Wait, Steph
got the
$50. Yeah, so I said, let's do that again.
Early night.
Yeah, early night on the way. Four people showed up, and when they heard about it, four people showed up, and he didn't.
Oh, my God.
No.
And when they heard about the two beverage minimum, they didn't even want to buy it, so they left.
Wow.
So I've never had this happen three times. I didn't think he would have the nerve to do it.
That's horrible.
Yeah, the nerve. And then he blamed the other people for betraying him.
Yeah, you can't, you know, that's a scary thing whenever you do that. Like, I am doing a door deal in Augusta, Savannah, Georgia, coming up. And it's, 75% to me, whatever, kind of door deal. But I'm not, you know, the guys I promoted, I go around doing it, you know, and everything, whatever. Oh, that's great. But I would be nervous as hell, you know, to try to get my own door deal.
Right.
But you know, but I mean, heck, man, if you.
Well, how are you going to get the audio? I mean, you've got a game plan.
I'm going to boost my Facebook.
Well, no, that's it's like that's where I feel like I have an advantage. I own an advertising and PR firm.
Ah, okay.
So when I come in and say it's happened once, it has happened to me in West Palm Beach. There was a room that I said, I'm like, well, let me see if I can get a comedy night for you, and it did not work out. But the people that were there, the 20 of them that were there, were people that I had gotten there. So this was with a nightclub in West Palm. But historically,
in all fairness, one of the clubs that you were booking. Was a really hard venue to book.
Okay, we're talking Scores now.
Yes,
because that's what I'm talking. Now Scores.
We her and I book clubs, book shows at a strip club. Let's just.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I will
never do it
that's
again.
That's got a very hard audience.
I will never do it
listen,
again.
Listen, listen. Yeah.
They're not there for comedy, right?
Right. I did it. Let me tell you, the first three. So what did I do? The first 3 weeks of that room. First of all, I mean, we had. People out there. I had my own people out there. We did TV advertising. I did online marketing and people came. But then he cut me off at the legs with the TV advertising. And you can't rely on just me every week to be bringing people out to. It wasn't even like a nice strip club. This is like a dump. The girls are asleep. They look like a.
Sometimes the dump ones are better.
Yeah. No, it's just like, I didn't want to look at the girls as
you
much.
You could smoke it. Right. But I did. You know, I had people from my breakfast place that I go to. Like, these are literally people who like go to church on Sunday and then come have breakfast. They came to Scores see comedy. So like I work. I sleep very well at night on that one. I don't lose sleep.
But
on
this
that.
Is a thing in New York. There's. But probably about four or five strippers that do stand-up comedy now. As a matter of fact, I 6 months ago in the summer, I actually did a gig, maybe 8 months now, but I did a gig in Atlantic City Comedy Club, and the feature act was a stripper.
Yeah.
Yeah, why not? I mean, look, that's the beauty of comedy.
I think we're on her Facebook page as the profile. We were.
Yeah, that's like I said, that's why I love comedy. The comedians are all different
all
walks of
life.
It's fascinating. Yeah, it really is fascinating.
Fascinating. I think I would love to see a stripper tell some jokes.
Why not? It's
got to be. I've done a lot of stripper jokes. You know what I mean? So I imagine a stripper has a lot of jokes about us.
Right, about the
guys out there.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
You know, Captain ATM.
Well, sure. That was some of her bits.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, yeah. She
was embarrassing great. The embarrassing the guys going to strip. I don't go to strip clubs anymore.
Since last week.
He no, I know.
Since Looney Bins, he has not been.
Probably all of us have gone at some time or another. But yeah.
No, listen, I learned. I go to Asian massage parlors. Well, I used to before Robert Kraft got busted.
Right,
he ruined it for you.
He did. But at least now when you go to an Asian massage parlor, you can ask for the Kraft special. You know, they seem to understand what that is.
Yeah.
But then you're looking through the towels, looking for a little light and shit. You know.
What is the...
Yeah.
You don't really want to go on that... the table shower thing.
Oh, the table shower.
After a guy, craftsman there.
Yeah. Well, geez, it could be worse. You know, but they supposedly clean that down. That was an interesting. I've been to a few of those table showers. They're nice.
Years ago, we've done those things, right?
Yeah, well, years. Yeah. I wouldn't say years, but now I won't go. Yeah. I'm not going to get busted. I'm not going to have that fall on my resume.
That might be the PR you need.
Yeah?
Sure.
Yeah.
Look at Stormy Daniels is doing.
God, what do you think about that? Stormy
doing
Daniels
stand-up.
Doing stand up.
They all eventually do stand up. I mean,
right,
years ago.
Right,
because
it's the easy thing, right?
Yeah. One of the first sex scandals in the late 70s was a woman named Elizabeth Ray.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you remember. She was known as the secretary who couldn't type. She was working for Wayne Hayes, who was of the House of Means. He was the chairman of the House Ways and Means Committee.
Right.
And they found out she had no idea how to type, but she was a secretary. And then, she had that fame. She did Playboy, Playgirl, whatever. She did them all. And then wound up deciding to do stand-up comedy in 1992.
Hmm.
And stumbled into my club, and then I had to...
Was she any good, though?
No, she wasn't. I mean, she could have been. She had some funny stories, but she wouldn't listen to me. She kept getting these comedy teachers.
Yeah.
And basically, they were, washed up comedians trying to soak her for money because they knew she had it.
Right.
And I said to her, Liz, just write your own experiences down. There are no shortcuts in this business.
Yeah.
I had a really wealthy guy. His name was Abe Hirschfeld. Abe Hirschfeld ran for mayor of New York like 10 times.
Must be like a Christian Viking.
He was a multimillionaire. He was he was known as the parking lot king of New York. He owned parking lots.
Nice.
And comes to my club one day. He had a thick European or Israeli accent. It was I want to do comedy here. I want to be a great stand-up comedy. I'm a funny guy. Could you put me on stage? And go, well, listen, I have an audience with 100 some odd people in there right now. Let me hear what you're doing on stage. He goes, just trust me. I can be very funny. Oh. And you know what?
With all
the money he has and not wanting to, he learned that comedy is a very humbling business.
Yeah.
You got to start in the beginning like everybody else. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, obviously he didn't have the time or the desire to do it.
Yeah, I mentioned the importance of the 10-year rule. Somebody asked me about that, and I got
a 10-year rule.
After 10 years, it's time. Like, my theory is after 10 years, you better be funny because you could have been a doctor by now.
Right.
After spending 10 years in something, anything.
Right.
And you're not funny. But to me, there was first told me the 10-year rule was if at 10 years you're not working, like you're an active working being repeating at club, not necessarily you could be headlining or not, but basically you're getting paid to come back to clubs.
Yeah.
And unless you're in that and you're progressing.
You can become famous at any level of comedy.
Right.
There's a guy in New York. He's been doing open mics for 30 years.
Woo.
Never advanced beyond open mics.
Right.
The New York Times wound up doing an article about him.
Is that who? I'm sorry. Is that? I saw that article where they followed him around all day.
Yeah.
Maury
Fogel.
I mean, 30 years
doing stand up comedy. Hmm. Whatever it was, if he had a day job, I don't know what stopped him from going further. But he had some funny lines, but he just never went beyond that. And there's another rule of comedy that I always talk about besides your 10-year rule. I think the less you have going on in your life, the better chance you have of making it as a comedian. If, like, for instance, I've seen judges come in and want to do stand-up comedy. They got to get up the next day and be a judge in a courtroom.
Yeah, you can't have all that responsibility.
Yeah, if you're a guy that, you work at a 7-Eleven stocking shelves or you're an Uber driver or something like that, you don't have to be anywhere in any particular way. You could sit up all night and hang out at a club and try to get a gig.
I know. Absolutely. I know. I have a good friend of mine in comedy that because of this content, I won't mention his name, but he helped me out a lot, and he's a very funny guy. But he never really, he's basically a touring headliner,
right.
But he never hit the big time because he's a family man, wanted to stay where he was living and didn't want
right,
to.
Right, right.
And I know another comic who's on his
Dream
way.
Dream killers, those
yeah,
kids.
Those fucking yeah. kids. So but then I have another buddy of mine who's actually, like, let's say my age or somebody I know who's very funny. He's got a great future. But he has now kids and stuff, and he's got, like,
yeah.
His,
you can't do it.
You got it again, Dream Killers.
What happens with guys like that? Is they come back 20 years later, but they're 20 years older.
Right.
And we worry about, we talked about racism before against Asians or black people. Or the biggest racism, or it's not racism, but the biggest ism in the country now is ageism.
Yeah.
It just seems like you can crap on older people. And, you know, so these guys come back, or gals come back 20 years later after raising their family, and they go, okay, I'm ready to resume. Well, not so easy now,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, no, it's a whole different story. Yeah?
Right.
When you look at it that way. Well, I don't know. I'm hoping. I've had that question to myself. I'm like, I'm at that stage, you know, kind of wrap this whole conversation up in that, you know, I'm hoping to do something viral. I'm waiting for that one thing. You know, who knows this show? Next thing you know, you're on radio, and you're, you know, who knows? But
yeah. Maybe you and I should just take off our shirts and do a dance.
Yeah.
I feel sorry for Helen here. She might be in a lot of trouble. Or the
Are you kidding? I'll get down and dirty.
The dog will be in one of those Taco Bell commercials. She'd be like,
bring
like
Chi Chi
oh
on. Chi Chi will be on and just looking at us.
I mean, let's just give a minute to the cuteness that's amongst us today. Look, look
nothing
at that.
Better, no better way to get that vision of Al and I naked. On camera.
Yes.
Well, I said naked. If we're going to do it, we got to do it naked.
Of course. I think it would be fantastic.
Well, leave something on for, what do they say?
for imagination?
Yeah, listen, imagination.
Funny men get away with things. That's all I'm going to say. There are some very funny men who come in all shapes, sizes.
Really?
And they, the first thing I would imagine if you lined up a woman and you said, all right, we want a list of what you want in a guy, I'm going to say that 98% of them are going to put a sense of humor on that list.
Oh, that's big with that.
And then she's right.
Yeah. Women want to.
See, women are brilliant. Women are smart. They know that at the looks is not eventually going to sit around and talk with this person, spend time with this person.
Right.
You know, and no better way to spend time with a comic.
Right. But now you're both attractive men. So you have the face, like you said, both of you are attractive men. So that works in your favor. So you get sense of humor. But, you know, sometimes the funny guy isn't the obvious catch. So she might put you in the friend zone, the funny guy. And talk to all you funny guys out there. You might be in the friend zone at first, but hang in there because he's going to fuck her over a few times.
Yeah.
And then she's going to cry on your shoulder. And before you know it,
next thing you know, you need
your hands are in her pants.
I like the way Helen thinks here.
She's got to be my life coach.
Yes. Okay.
She's got all the answers, Jen Helman.
Well, I'm not going to get any audio today, so...
What? It looks
there.
Like what?
No, I'll go ahead.
Is this show even taping?
Yeah.
Am I really
on a podcast?
Am I really a
Dougie
on my
No, we're just here to take our shirts off in front of you and put it on the camera.
Next week.
Yeah. A couple quick things I want to announce. Congratulations for Roseanne Barr for getting back on stage.
Hey.
She was Dice Clay brought her on at the Las Vegas Laugh Factory. That must have been a fucking
being
there.
I'm going to tell you, people say a lot of things negative about Dice. I think he's a really good guy. Now, he might have changed through the years.
Right.
He's a little less, maybe like anybody, we mellow as we get older. But
sure.
He's been to Broadway Comedy Club a few times with his kids.
Yeah.
And he's a good father.
Yeah.
You know? He's really a good
father. Good guy.
You would never think.
He responds back to me on Facebook. I mean, we're friends on Facebook.
Yeah.
And I've said a couple things when he had a show.
Right.
And this guy got canceled and stuff. And he's actually responded. I'm like, oh, my God. He's actually, you know,
right
back to me.
He's a very, very nice guy.
And thumbs up at the Laugh Factory. I'm still waiting to get a thumbs up over there. Hopefully, you know, the try at it. That's kissing ass a little bit. But, hey, you know, that's the way it goes.
I'm Jen Hellman.
And I want to say congratulations to the Australian senator. Fraser Anig.
Dingo's got my baby.
You see that with this young kid, a millennial punk ass know-it-all, smashes a fucking egg on the guy's head.
Yeah.
And he just turns around and left, bitch slaps the kid, And the kid tries to hit him back, and somebody put the guy in a chokehold. I don't know whatever happened to the kid after that. But the kid was arrested for what he did. Because there's still people saying, because what, I guess the guy got egged because the shooting, the devastating shooting.
Yeah, this is New Zealand, right?
50 people killed, which is some right-wing and guy. Yeah, of course, he has to mention Trump. He's in New Zealand.
Yeah, now they're talking about reforming their gun laws.
So. Yeah, they're getting rid of assault rifles. So,
the American way.
Yeah, and there. So, but I guess the senator had mentioned that that New Zealand bringing in all these refugees, and then he blamed on that. So, you know, insensitive thought on comments, obviously, whether it really makes sense or not, because there's an ism in there,
right?
And one way or the other. So the young kid smashes an egg on the head, and he went to jail. And I wish more politicians in the United States would smack people when they said stupid shit on TV or in front of them in person. You know,
especially if the politician was like Schwarzenegger or Jesse Ventura.
Get over here! I'm going to beat your ass. Absolutely. And that's. I thought it was great to see her on stage and see Roseanne Barr back at it. And
very cool.
You know, again, gone is political correctness stuff. You know, it's like you can't say Here's the weird part. You can't, and again, I had somebody recently tell me this. He goes, and I don't do political humor or anything, but I stopped making comments pretty much on Facebook at all because I don't need the trolls. I don't need all that shit.
Right. Who has the time to argue?
The enemies. Yeah, and you need to get booked.
And that's it. I'm done doing, I'm done talking about it and stuff like that, you know. And, but somebody said to me, he goes, you can't because that'll happen in this industry. You know, you'll have people that'll just say, fuck it, you know. I'm not going to hire this guy because of his ideological belief.
Yes, absolutely.
So, again, big thumbs up to the Laugh Factory and Dice for doing that. Fuck it. You know, to me, that was a big, middle finger to the fucking to the world of entertainment. With that being said, it has now been determined that giving the middle finger is how would you say is it backed by the First Amendment right?
I don't know, but let's do it.
Double burn.
Yeah,
let's do it. All right, there you go,
buddy.
Okay.
See that? Get a big fucking load of that.
Yeah,
but you can't say fuck with it. That's the only problem.
Nico's got it.
He's got a middle paw.
Yeah, it's so cute. I wish I could zoom in on it.
Now here's the thing: Nico could give the finger, and nobody goes, she's so adorable.
Yeah,
he's so adorable.
Cute, good-looking people can get
those
away.
Those are the three people that should be dropped out of the world.
Yeah. Right, girl covered in tattoos. Yeah. She gets it there and be like, oh.
By the way, Peter Kramer is so happy to see you.
Thank you, Peter.
After waiting for the last year and a half, he's like, when's she coming back?
Oh, thank you, Peter. I'm glad I'm back. I wish I could get, I'd like to see who's chiming in, and my phone died.
Cortez, middle finger is now protected by the Constitution in Taylor, Michigan. I guess they're giving people the finger in Taylor, Michigan. When it comes to the middle finger, police might need a thicker skin. Federal appeals court says a Michigan woman's constitutional rights were violated when she handed a speeding ticket, when she was handed a speeding ticket after giving the finger to a suburban Detroit officer back in 2017.
Oh, yeah. He needs to get over it.
Yeah.
Come on.
I've never gotten mad if somebody gave me the finger. You know, when somebody's driving, they give you the finger, Yeah,
down here you got to be careful about giving anybody the finger.
Really?
They'll just pull out a gun. You know, they did it to my friend. He got into a little traffic thing at the red light. The guy just pulled out a gun and fired at him.
No kidding.
And it whizzed right by him and went right through the roof of his car.
Oh,
yeah.
Was he sitting in the car?
Yeah, and he also happened to be carrying a gun.
Yeah, you got to get an OK Corral situation. Yeah, on the corner of 58th and Main.
It's crazy.
I carry a gun.
Yeah.
But when something like that happens, if I could tell something happened, I cut in somebody's lane by mistake or something, somebody's honking and they're pulling up, I won't look. I don't even look at the fucking person.
Yeah.
I mean, I look over to make sure they're not pointing a gun at me because I'm going to have to, face them driving or something.
Right.
I've gotten a little better with road rage.
Yeah.
I was bad. I was bad for a while there, but I'm getting better. I love New York. I love New York because you don't have to drive.
Oh, right.
I love driving.
But if you do drive, it could be the king of road rage in New York.
Oh, gosh.
I mean, the traffic in New York
is
awful. Unbelievable.
But I'd rather deal with crazy people on the subway.
They're absolutely
out of their fucking mind. It's funny, too, because the first week, I was actually, mindful of other people.
Right.
You almost have, a certain way of carrying yourself.
So you got to develop the New York attitude.
By the end of the month, I was tweezing. I was tweezing my chin.
No eye contact with anybody.
In a 3-0 decision on Wednesday, the court said Taylor officer Matthew Minard should have known better. Even if the driver was rude, Minard stopped Cruz Gyla's and wrote her a ticket for a lesser violation. But when that stop was over, Cruz Gyla's raised her middle finger. And it pulled her over again and changed the ticket to a more serious speeding offense.
Who does he think he is? But is he a judge or a cop?
He can't make up that speeding violation at that point.
And what is the charge? Flipping me the bird?
Well, he wrote her a speeding ticket. So right there, you know, listen, I'm not an attorney, but if you write something on the ticket that is not actually proven, dismissed.
Of course.
Speaking of dismissed, billionaire diamond trader reportedly dies during penis enlargement procedure. Now, this was a week ago. I had to save the story. Hopefully, it didn't become old. And then I had to make sure it was
real. That never could become old.
Right? Can you imagine somebody so vain to want a bigger vein?
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Right. Right? I mean, listen.
Sure.
Now, I mean, I don't know. You'd have to have a micro penis?
Micro penis.
Right? Have you ever seen a micropenis?
No. I've seen close to a micropenis, I think.
Like a mini.
I've seen an almost micropenis. But it's no secret. Everyone and people know. I mean, I talk about it on stage. Jen right. Hellman, actually, I prefer a penis of a smaller stature.
Really?
Huh. I do.
Huh. No wonder you think we're good looking.
Yeah. Assuming. Really, Jen Hellman's great. I like to keep my I have to keep my dating pool very open.
I really can't be choosy. If you think we're good looking,
geez. I love a small penis, heavy set, good looking hair.
And a guy who's got no money.
You're broke. Actually.
She's a godsend.
Yeah. Right. Oh.
God bless her. Keep her safe.
Oh, I could have met you before I got married. No, I'm only kidding. I love my
wife.
Oh,
you're broke. Then you got to be nice to me.
Yeah, well, I wasn't broke. And I don't have a micro penis. A billionaire diamond trader went to an upscale medical clinic in Paris for a penis enlargement and wound up dead. The victim of a heart attack was reportedly struck while he was under the knife.
Unrelated, I wonder?
Ehud Iri Lenedo, 65, ultimately died from complications during the surgery.
Wait a minute. He's 65 and worried about, he made it to 65 with his schlong, and then at 65 he's like, I need it bigger?
Yeah, exactly.
You can't even get it up. That's the problem. It was not small.
He had money earlier on, right, when he really could have enjoyed this experience.
He had money. He's a diamond guy. A billionaire.
With that kind of money, you could just pay somebody else to fuck for you.
Listen, if I had billions of dollars, I wouldn't even care. I wouldn't care if the girl came.
Right.
I'm done. Goodbye.
You'd be like, Peter North, I'm going to need you to take over from here, and then I'm going to come back.
Yeah. The diamond trader also focused on his appearance and how others perceived him. According to one friend who spoke Belgium's newspaper, he reportedly checked his bank account multiple times a day just to make himself feel better. Well, I guess that's what you do when you got a little cock.
All right, you got to define yourself by your money.
That or by a Corvette.
With big wheels.
Yeah.
It
turned out that he did have some talents, explained one friend. And internationally, he was one of the biggest experts in valuing raw diamonds. I guess he's good at looking at small things.
Ah.
I got a keen eye.
And their imperfections.
I don't need a loop to look at my dick, dude. It's a micro penis. Yeah, I got good at looking at diamonds because I'm trying to find my dick when I take a piss. I got a keen eye for it.
A loop.
Yeah.
That was a good thing.
Thank you. I'm trying
to
work
hard. You should develop that.
Mm-hmm. New York woman sucked into parents' grave during suing the cemetery. This is funny. Could you imagine going to see your parents at the cemetery and the ground caves in and you fall in with your parents?
What was it, a sinkhole
like
in the cemetery?
In the cemetery? That's like something out of Poltergeist.
Right? It's scary as
shit.
Right? Hi, Mom. I figured I'd visit.
Yeah. Mom's busy. I don't visit her enough. A woman visiting her parents in Long Island, a burial plot, descended into more than despair. She sank hip deep into the grave.
Only hip deep.
Yeah, in the real life horror show, Joanne Cullen bent down to fix a bow.
It has to be one of the tribe.
Yeah. In a wreath by a headstone when a sinkhole formed and it began swallowing her up.
True story, huh?
It caused her to fall forward and smash her head on the tombstone, cracking a tooth.
There's a lawsuit.
Yeah.
Not only that, but like, how awful is your mother that she does it? Like, even from the dead, she's reaching out to destroy you.
Sinks her.
She was Jewish mother, right?
Mom was pissed because she spent all that money on braces and never got thanked.
Right? Oh my gosh! Right from the grave, she won't stop.
The old toxic Jewish mom, huh?
Mm-hmm. Right. This is what it's all about.
I'm going to destroy you.
It occurred back on December 19th of 2016. Quote, getting sucked into your parents' grave when you get to go to visit them on a cool December afternoon with the sun going down is terrifying and traumatizing, you think?
That's a hell of a way of guilting. You never come visit.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
You never come visit. Now you never leave.
Mom got the last word.
I see what Mom's saying to her. You see, I told you not to eat so much. You crashed the ground underneath.
You don't want to die.
And I can tell you gained some weight. Look, the entire ground fell from underneath it.
No wonder you don't have a man. Here's a story. Australian man blocks bow and arrow attack with his phone. Who the fuck is attacking people with bow and arrows?
Right?
This is The Walking Dead?
No, the Game of Thrones.
That's coming back.
T.O.T.
An Australian man was able to shield himself with his phone after he came under attack from a bow and arrow wielding man, the police say on Wednesday. The 43-year-old from Nimbin was getting out of his car on Wednesday when a man he knew was standing outside his residence holding a bow and arrow and probably banging his wife.
Sounds like serendipity. I don't think that was officially like, I'm going to use my phone to protect me. I think he just got lucky.
The man picked up his phone to take a picture of the scene.
Ah.
When the armed man was ready to fire, police said.
Snaps for Jen Hill. See that? See,
boy, this camera was 3D.
Yeah.
Police say the suspect fired the arrow at the resident, which punctured the man's cell phone. The phone hit him in the chin, which gave him small lacerations that did need a little bit of require. Yeah.
Now, more importantly, did he have a Samsung or an iPhone?
No, it was one of those old brick phones.
Right, it was the old candy bar. Oh, yeah, the flip phone.
Yeah,
the 39-year-old
man was arrested and charged with armed, with intent to commit an indictable?
Indictable?
Oh, my God.
Jeez, you are not Italian at all.
I'm reading an Australian story.
You are not Italian. Oh, you're going to blame it on them?
Yeah, because it's coming
backwards. Do they spell indictable differently?
So you're not Italian. What are you?
Did you get that one, Laugh Factory? You should book them just on base on the way you read.
Indictable offense.
Indictable, yeah. Indictable.
I'm thinking of dick right now. I don't know why. We just got off a micro dick story, so I got dick on my mind.
You see, there was a table, and then they put a dick in it, and they made it indictable.
They indicted it. assault, occasionally actual assault occasioning. What am I fucking up on that? Occasionally. No, it says occasionally.
What the fuck did they do to you in Arkansas?
I just got stupid. OCCASSIONING. Occasioning.
Who is this writer?
It's from, that's what I'm telling you. This is from fucking down under.
All right, blame it on a millennial.
Yeah. Actually, bodily harm.
Their millennials are just as stupid.
The guy got arrested for shooting a bow and arrow, okay?
Can you at least do it with an accent? Oh, no, it's not down. Oh, no, it's not. Dude, the Palm Beach Post almost daily on their internet stories have typos. My friend sends them to me every day.
Yeah, I'm telling you. Let's get to another one so I don't look so stupid. In Germany, drunk passenger demands high-speed train slow down.
In Germany?
Yeah, in Germany, which you're on the Autobahn over there. Everything's fast.
Wait, he's on a train. So how do you go about insisting? What was his...
Is it like the old days where you could pull the fucking rope and everybody stops?
Right. I mean,
yeah. I don't know. German police say a drunken man with a fire extinguisher smashed his way into the driver's cab of a high-speed train running from Frankfurt to Paris.
Excellent.
He was trying to save his friend from getting a dick implant and demanded that the driver slow down. You're going too fast. Federal police said the ICE train, operated by Germany's Deutsche Bahn, stopped near Frankfurt after the incident on Sunday morning. The 30-year-old man from Heidelberg, who wasn't identified, was arrested and faces investigation of dangerous interference in a rail traffic, amongst other things.
I feel like I'm missing out on so much in life.
Yeah. I'm flying so much now. I'm waiting for something to happen on one of my planes. I want to be on. That's how I'll probably get famous. Viral video.
Statistically, more and more. Like, you know what? Somebody threw up on the plane, which is my fear of mine.
I have
a phobia of throw up. And sure enough, finally, I have flown enough that the person in front of me threw up on the plane.
Well, at least they weren't behind you. So, that's worse.
They actually had it under control. I think this person anticipated this was going to happen.
They had the bark bag out?
They had the bag. They had a towel. They had those little...
What did they get sick from? Did they eat food or what?
No, they had those little wrist things on. He was actually an adult who was with his parents, but I could tell maybe he's like... But he's not like independent.
Flying has just become miserable.
Was that politically correct? He's not independent?
It was nice. You didn't say retarded. But it's slow. Not full capacity. Not incapacitated?
He was. There were parts of his brain that are not firing on all cylinders.
Not fully developed.
Is that politically acceptable?
Yeah. He was on the spectrum of something. I've gotten
to the point, if I travel, I just buy the seat next to me.
Yeah.
You know, because I just don't want anybody next to me. They're crazy.
It's awful.
They're bringing on donkeys and pigs.
That shit don't happen anymore, man. No, people aren't allowed to do that anymore.
Yeah.
The animals and stuff, at least.
I'm one Ativan and a half a Dramamine, and that's it. I'm out. Lights out. Hmm. 15 minutes before we landed, I woke up to his...
Oh, man.
Yeah, it's crazy what's going on the planes, and it's torture.
Yeah, well, I had a nice little flight. I'm knocking on wood because I'm waiting for that one.
Yeah,
just before I'm about to fly the other day, the fucking severe turbulence story hits. I'm like, oh, plane came down, people got. That's why.
Is that
when
the Boeing story? Is that the same as the Boeing story?
No, not that. That's
nonsense. Another issue. Hey.
Yeah.
They need a publicist.
Bat Boeing.
Yeah.
Do something because I toned the stock when it's been dropping last few days.
That's not a bad idea.
Not at all. That's going to fix, and it's going to be a short term thing. By the way, I had to disclose now. Find financial advice. Please seek professional advice. Don't take advice from this show.
Right. And if you need a publicist, hire the Fahrenheit Advertising.
If you listen, if you follow my financial advice after me talking about micro penis. Now, this is a funny story.
Do you feel that all this affects your doing the comedy? No.
I mean, I had one person that was referred to me, look me up on LinkedIn, and she didn't find anything about financial. She saw my past where I worked, but she saw a comic radio host.
Right.
And, and I tried to explain her. I said, "Listen, I've been a comic for 10 years."
Right.
But I've been a financial advisor for 30 years. It's not the other way around. You know, it's like I just, you know.
And can you wire me your $300,000 right now to start the account?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But my financial planning career, I work with a select group of people, and I mean
right.
that.
Right.
But I won't work with somebody if I don't. That's it. I have 50 clients. That's it. That's all I'm going to do. And every time somebody goes, I replace them with somebody with a $500,000 or more.
That's right.
You know, you don't have a $500,000, I don't want to bother.
You're a closed fund.
That's right.
That's it.
Yeah. I'm a fiduciary. T-shirt gun used to launch contraband into the Oklahoma prison. That wasn't me. I was just there.
T-shirt used. Oh, like a sling. Like
and the guy was dressed as a red bear. I don't know.
So he used the T-shirt like they do at the basketball game.
Right.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Instead it was a bomb.
A T-shirt cannon or a drug dealer.
Oh, I you know. It.
Hey, I've never had any of my drug dealers be that devoted.
No.
In Sayre, Oklahoma, an Oklahoma woman was arrested after authorities say she used a T-shirt gun to launch drugs, cell phones, and other contraband over a prison fence. She tried to use the kicker from the New York Jets, but he kept missing.
I mean...
Why do I feel I need a drummer here?
I mean...
I'm trying to make this fucking news story
funny. We know they're getting... dumber, but my God.
Well, somebody used a drone. I remember we had a story not too long ago where they had drones flying, you know, weed, big old bundles of weed and shit in there.
I think that's a fun job.
I like that.
It says here the Oklahoma Department of Corrections say the incident prompted a lockdown at the North Fork Correctional Unit about 120 miles west of Oklahoma City. I wasn't there. The agency says authorities arrested Carrie Jo Hickman after discovering the T-shirt gun and other packages in her vehicle. What are you doing with that T-shirt gun, ma'am?
What are you doing with
it? I'm going to go to my son's basketball game.
Carrie Jo Hickman. Go ahead. Look her up on Facebook, Instagram. What kind of name is that? We're going to name her Carrie Jo Hickman.
Carrie Jo.
Only a hick could come up with the name Carrie Jo Hickman. And, of course, my ex-in-laws. But.
And she's engaged to Red Neckman. Florida man brings Florida man finds bright green iguana in his toilet.
That's possible,
right?
Oh, very.
Like the snakes are in toilets because they come up through this, you know.
Porky's Revenge. Porky's, right?
Well, that was in the drain.
What do you mean snakes are in the toilet? I mean, you could be sitting on the toilet with a snake.
Yeah, they can.
It happens.
Really?
Yeah, they get through
never
somehow.
Happened.
Yeah.
I'm glad I go back in May.
And you know, the big thing was when
it actually happens most between now and May.
Oh my God!
Yeah,
thank you very much.
Year, yeah. Don't sweat it though. That happens. And the big story here used to be the spiders under the water. There's poisonous water spiders.
Oh, I don't.
Well, I'll tell you. I have like when I go in the pool sometimes, I bring one of those noodles with me.
Right.
Yeah.
And a guy comes out of the pool in my building and he keeps banging the noodle. I go, why do you do that? He goes, a lot of times snakes get into the hole in the middle of the noodle.
I can see that.
So you got to really be careful. So you got to, you don't want to start bringing them into your apartment.
Yeah, that's true too. Well, that won't be a big snake getting in the middle of the noodle.
In the middle of the noodle. Well,
let me tell you,
it depends on the size of his noodle.
I went to the Elton John concert here at TNT the other day.
How was that?
And it was great. Yeah. And I was just sitting there waiting, just hanging out outside. And you really realize that that place was built in the middle of the Everglades. I mean, because there's gnats flying all over the place. I mean, thousands of them.
Yeah, yeah.
You see them in the lights. It's like you don't notice it.
Oh, yeah.
Looking.
You don't realize. Florida's actually just a giant cesspool, and they actually just planted some palm trees.
Nothing worse than, first of all, when I was in Little Rock, Arkansas, it was like 45 degrees out. So you can get out and walk around, and be comfortable outside. Unlike here, we're getting to that time of year where you walk out, you just get the morning paper is a pain in the ass.
Was this Everglades, this area at one time?
Years ago, like Coral Springs, parts of Coral Springs now, this area, were just farmland and marsh.
So there could be a sinkhole in your yard right now, right? I mean,
There could be. There was a guy in Tampa. Remember that kid who died in Tampa? Right. He was in his room spanking it and... All of a sudden, he fell 90 feet, and his whole house got
Yes, 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 I do remember that story.
I didn't know he was in the middle of... Well, did you just make that up?
I embellished that part, but I would imagine.
I like to imagine that he was.
You know what? There's probably a good chance he was.
That he was on my Instagram.
Yeah, looking at your photos.
When he was jerking off.
Yeah, and he's like, oh, that Jen Hellman.
Yeah.
Oh, God doesn't punish me for this.
The way she crosses the
line. His brother found him. Brother threw a towel over him so they didn't realize it. They get the iPad away from him. Yeah, Florida man at Fort Lauderdale. A Florida man called 911 after going to the bathroom and finding a bright green iguana swimming in his toilet. And all he wanted to do was save him on car insurance. Fort Lauderdale Battalion Chief Stephen Golan tells the Miami Herald the man freaked out and didn't know what to do. Well, that's overreacting.
I mean, are we talking like...
it's probably about that big.
Right. Are we talking like one of those... Okay, so yeah, if it's
an iguana, it's not an alligator.
Yeah, I know, but it depends where the guy is.
I mean, it would be weird.
To seeing them all the time, I mean...
But I called one time the people at Coral Springs Animal Control.
Yeah.
Because I didn't know if it was poison. I couldn't tell, but it was a snake, pretty big. It was probably from this wall to that wall. It was about that big around. It was a pretty big snake. I mean, I going to get my shovel or something, chop it. I didn't want to kill it.
Right.
I didn't have the snake catching equipment, so I called them. My buddy was like, what are you, a pussy? Why couldn't you take care of the snake? I used to, when I was a kid, we used to catch them. But I had we had a noose with a broomstick and a stick to hold them up. I didn't have anything.
Yeah, I mean, I almost think a snake would be easier. I mean, I do get, what do I do? Like, how do you get the lizard out of the toilet? The iguana at this point? Do you flush it?
Animal control don't want to deal with these things.
Right.
You know what you tell them? That the animal is dying.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because there's no food source. They're trapped somewhere.
I just took a big dump on its head.
I think
if they think the animal's dying, they'll come out.
That's a good point.
Yeah, we'd be interested, actually, in our Facebook audience, if you can think of what would you do? How would you get an iguana out of your toilet?
I would put on a big glove. I would probably put on my wife's oven glove. And grab it.
I would take Dougie Almeida's hand and stick it in my toilet.
That sounds exciting. That actually had a very sexual tone. I took Dougie's hand and stuck it in my toilet. It says here, firefighter Jeff Kuris, after laughing, put on a sterile glove, reached in and grabbed the iguana, and shaked it in front of the guy. The Golan says the department is the end-all be-all when it comes to unique calls. The department tweeted pictures of the iguana adding, you can imagine lifting it. Well, it would scare you, but I would take the iguana out, right? I would grab it.
I wouldn't be anywhere near that iguana.
No?
I'd
be looking for a happy hour.
Yeah, I'd close the sea for a while.
Leave it for the wife to find. North Carolina thrift show sells haunted furniture for $1,000.
Hell yeah.
You'd buy it?
I wouldn't buy it because my place looks like the Guggenheim, but I think it's interesting.
So your house looks like a hoarder house right now? You got a lot of shit?
No, the Guggenheim looks like it's meticulous.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
Salisbury, North Carolina. North Carolina thrift store has earned $1,000 off a hand-carved bedroom suite that may be just be haunted. News outlets report Habitat for Humanity, Rowan County's ReStore, warned would-be customers that the previous owner reported that him and his wife had continuous nightmares while the furniture was in their bedroom.
I love it. I love a haunted hotel. I love a haunted house.
Their dogs were suspicious of the 1950 highboy chest of drawers and canopy bed, as they would not stop barking at it.
There are some comedy clubs that might be haunted, like on a Monday night, you know?
The ghost jokes
of George Carlin.
They say there's a ghost at the Looney Bin in Little Rock.
Well, I know the old New York Comedy Club that I own definitely had a ghost in the basement.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll tell you the story. You got a minute?
Yeah.
Okay. The club was on 24th Street and 2nd Avenue. It's still there. But the backyard of the club, it was one of these five-story walk-up buildings. Mm-hmm. There was a backyard. And the store next to the comedy club was owned by a mobster. He owned the building. The mobster owned the building till the late 70s, like, or early 80s. He sold it to the current landlord, but part of the deal was he would keep his little social club there. And I'd be sometimes outside of the club, just, you know, hanging out in the afternoon or something, and these limousines would pull up, come out, and kiss the old man on his hand, you know? So this place was mobbed up. All of a sudden, the history of it is the backyard was there, and then overnight, they completely concreted the backyard and then built a structure on top of it that eventually became the comedy club.
Oh.
Now, here's the interesting part.
There were people in the backyard.
There were people in the backyard. Now, here's the interesting part. In the late 90s, when I took over that particular space, I had a guy working for me. He goes downstairs. May he rest in peace. His name was Ozzy. Went downstairs to the basement. He came up on his first day of work, white.
There's a fucking ghost in there, man.
Sweating. He came up from the basement. And I go, well, Ozzy, what's the matter with you? You just hired.
You look like you saw a ghost.
Fuck, there's a fucking ghost. Sharon!
He goes to me, listen, you're going to fire me because this is my first day on the job, and you're going to think there's something really wrong with me. But I was downstairs opening the refrigerator downstairs, and this guy with a toothpick, slick black hair back, wearing gold jewelry, came running at me.
Bob Goldthwait was at... Oh, wait, what?
Obviously a mobster that was...
Yeah, I'm joking.
Yeah. This guy's buried in the backyard.
And this guy had no idea of what was buried back there or whatever.
He had never heard the story.
He had never heard the story. First day on the job. And we've had some other photos that were taken that in the background you can see these orbs.
Right.
So we're feeling
a lot of things about the orbs.
That space was definitely haunted.
Wow.
Now, I'd be interested in meeting the person who's willing to concrete people, because I have some people who I wouldn't mind pouring some concrete.
You want
some
people? Yeah.
I wonder. Yeah.
You want some people?
That business ain't what it used to be.
Right.
Though.
Yeah. Although they said there's the Gambino, one of the Gambinos was shot recently.
Yeah, right.
Oh,
there.
Yeah, he's going to trial today. This is when everybody gets to walk around and like make their 7 degrees of a connection to a monster. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, they'll say, my buddy's going to jail. He's going to trial.
Yeah,
right.
My good friend.
Everybody's connected.
There you go. I love when people act like they're connected. You know, they try to insinuate that or something. You know, like, oh, you don't know who I am.
Yeah.
Like, no one knows who you are, you idiot.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Usually
right.
When they say that, they're not connected.
Yeah, you know.
And you know, we were, you know, I'm like.
You don't want to mess with me. I'm Italian. What are you going to do, make me eat a cannoli?
Anyway. I actually found out I was 24% Italian.
You did that DNA thing?
Yeah, I did that DNA thing,
nice.
I wish I knew that when I was a kid, when all the Italian kids were beating me up growing up.
But, you can only beat up the other 74% of you.
What is on now, man?
Yeah, you missed all those years to wear the horn.
Yeah.
Gross.
Camaro.
It would have changed your whole life.
Hell yeah, man. Hey, that's all we have time for here on the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. It's fun. I want to thank Jen Helm for joining
thank
us
you.
Again.
Thank you. I'm so glad to be back.
She is on the co-host roster. We don't know when she'll be back, but whenever
here.
She's available. And thanks to our special guest, Al Martin, for joining us.
Thank you. I'll see you next year again.
Yeah, I'll be back again. We'll make you feel at home, put a lizard in your toilet.
Great.
And, you know, just like old times. And but that's it, guys.
That might be animal cruelty to put
in your toilet.
A lizard in my toilet.
Like that lizard had a lot to say.
Yeah.
By the way, guys, Wednesday night's Wise Guys comedy show. It's going to be headliner. John Fish is headlining this
when
Wednesday.
When is that? This Wednesday
night? Yeah.
That's the 20th?
Yep.
I might come to that.
I might come to that too.
There you go. This was, it's only $15. Make your reservations by calling Tavolino's at 954-509-0046. Chris Flanagan is our feature, and I will be your host. And then what else is going on? Oh, I'm going to be at Daytona Beach Live headlining along with Nadima Watts, going to come with me this Saturday night. And then I'm at the Crossroads Tavern in Bonnell, Florida, headlining there along with bringing Nadim for that one as well. Go to DougieAlmeida.com for more dates. And follow me on Twitter, Instagram at Dougie Dangerous. And join our fan page on Facebook, the Wake Up with Dougie Show. And follow us on Twitter, Wake Up Dougie. What do you got, Jen?
Today, I just want to talk about comics crushing cancer real quick. I just, if you can go, I'm doing a fire sale on all of our CBD products. So if you go to comicscrushingcancer.org right now, you can get big savings on all the CBD products and all of the money goes to our cause, Comics Crushing Cancer. So there that's I'm dedicating my entire plug to this.
Anything you want
to
plug out?
BroadwayComedyClub.com, GreenwichVillageComedyClub.com.
I got to go back. It's been a long time.
Yes.
Yeah, I got. I love that place. Visit Broadway Comedy Club and Greenwich Village Comedy Club. Say hi to Dee. Dina's is in the Broadway Comedy Club. And go say to our good friend Dustin Chaffin.
And my daughter Melinda at Greenwich, too.
She's there. That's right. Melinda's there. That's right. That's it, guys. Thanks for watching. We'll be Thursday with a special show. Me, John Fish will be here, and I think Chris Flanagan will be here too, sitting in. Minda will be here. Minda will be here. Don't worry about that. Minda, another woman in the studio. Hopefully, she wants me to put my hand in her toilet. Thanks for checking it out, guys. And we'll be back next week, Thursday, I should say, right here at the same spot.
Bye bye.
Yeah.